Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I'm very happy to have singer-songwriter Jeff Fowler with us on the podcast today. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Ken.
You have an interesting path to music, and I think it underscores something important because a lot of people like to pigeonhole singers and musicians that this is what you do and this is what you do. And the truth is that we're all into lots of things. And you went to Hollywood to be an actor. You got into animation. You directed Sonic the Hedgehog. And somewhere in there, you also became a lawyer. And
yeah.
And then there's the music. I don't know if there are any of those threads you want to start with or how one led to the next.
Yes. Well, I should first tell you that I did not direct Sonic the Hedgehog. That is a different Jeff Fowler.
Okay.
And he and I have never met, although every once in a while, I think we shop at the same places because when I give my name, they ask for more information. So Jeff Fowler is a relatively common name. It's also, funny enough, the case that I was on an episode of The Gilmore Girls, and because I stopped acting before IMDb was really a thing, my IMDb credit is on his page, and he's been asked about it. And I heard him say once, or someone sent me a quote in an article that said that he was not the out-of-work actor that has this Gilmore Girls credit. That's somebody else. So I'm that guy.
You know, it's interesting that you said that. And obviously, I'm not the first person who made that mistake. I get approached by people all the time who think that I'm the Ken Kessler that writes articles for Stereo Review and High Fidelity Magazine and all these other things, who is into all the technical stuff. And that's not me. I'm glad when the technology works, but I've not reviewed any of it. And I don't know, but there's a Ken Kessler out there who apparently does not have a Facebook page. So all these people flock to me. So I apologize for that error, but it sounds like I'm certainly not the first. But music is something that you were driven to, but also the law.
That's correct. So I grew up in a family. I think of my Italian American grandfather who had a passion for woodworking. And he always, it wasn't his job, but it was what he did whenever he wasn't working. And it was clearly his vocation. And so I grew up in a family where having more than one career was pretty common. And so at a point when, when you're going, I was in school and playing music and acting, and it never really occurred to me that I had to choose. And so the next move was to go to law school. I did that. I graduated from law school. I spent a little time working at a law firm, and that's when I decided I wanted to pursue my creative pursuits more seriously. And I resigned from that law firm and moved to Los Angeles. And then over the years, I kicked around, acting and playing music, and at some point needed some money. So I went back to a law firm that I've been with for 25 years, and they have been an incredible support of all my creative endeavors. It's really quite something. And it's a bit breaks the mold of what people think of, when they think of lawyers and law firms. I've been really blessed that, some of my most passionate supporters and fans in my music are people I've met through the law.
I'm sure that there are plenty of people who, when they find out that the guy singing the new Christmas song I'm hearing on the radio is also a lawyer, because there's something in us that I don't know if we're taught or just used to it, that you can't be both.
Yeah. Well, and then when in my situation, what happens is I meet a lot of people who tell me about others who are similarly, you know, dual professionals, plenty of lawyers who play music, you know, write novels, all sorts of, you know, interesting backgrounds. And I find that there is a creative through line when I'm writing a song. I'm looking for a way to translate something in my heart that will appeal to a broader audience, and thinking about how to take something and make it simple. And oftentimes as advocates in the law, we do the same thing. You know, we look for ways of taking, you know, complex ideas and reducing them to a story. So I do see some similarity.
Is that kind of connected to the first album, Side Hey? I know now we're so used to hearing about Side Hustle and that people are used to doing something on the side. Was that connected, or is that just a coincidence because of the local jargon?
Well, Ken, that's a fantastic reason to call it Side Hey. I did not think of that. And from now on, I'm going to say I did. That's a much better reason than the reason I called it Side Hey, which was that I was imagining that it was one of two albums that were going to come out side by side. The other one was going to be Side B, and Side Hey was a take on Side A. But I, ever since that album came out, which is now, you know, almost, I guess, more than 15 years ago, people ask, and also people mispronounce, you know, they call it Side or Side Hey or but I don't have a good reason other than I thought it would be clever to say that instead of Side A. But yeah. And, you know, that was a group of songs that I wrote on an upright piano in a little room in my very first house. And it was the first real experience I had had taking songs to a band and an arranger and collaborate with a group of people. It was such an incredible experience to take something that you come up with by yourself and share it and have it blossom into these recordings. It was a really special experience. And the collaborators that I worked with on that album, in particular, Wes Stiles and Eli Kludzik, the three of us have stayed as collaborators. They've worked on everything I've done there, including this Christmas album.
I was going to say, I've also seen them on your YouTube channel, several things, both that you've released as singles or parts of albums and things that you guys have just done together. So it has been a partnership and friendship that continues.
That is correct. A very important and dear partnership and friendship.
So the follow-up to Side Hey was Blood from Turnips, which came out a few years later. Anything in particular that led you to that, or was this just the next creative step?
Well, I, you know, the name of that album was a little bit better contemplated. it really reflected what I was going through at that time, which was a feeling like it was at that time in my life where I was growing up and finding that some of the things that originally seemed important to me were becoming less important to me, and things that were more important to me, you know, such as my relationships with family and friends, was becoming clear to me. And so a lot of the songs have a through line about, you know, a guy who was growing up and sort of extracting blood from some turnips, not always successful relationships. And so that crop of songs I wrote, funny enough, you know, it was one of the busiest times I've had in my life as a lawyer. I was quite involved in a big case. And what I found was that being that focused on the law work made me quite prolific when I got home at night. And so I wrote that crop of songs rather quickly. And then, you know, I rehearsed them with Wes and Eli So we went into the studio with clear ideas of how we wanted to perform them. And it was just it was a tremendous time and opportunity. And I'm really proud of the work on that album.
Did you guys get to perform live together, or was this just studio stuff that you released?
No, we did. And in fact, I've just released on my YouTube page the first of a series of videos from a performance. The name of the series of videos and ultimately a live album called Live at the Mint. The first video I've released on YouTube, it's of 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, the Paul Simon song. And it's from exactly when that album was released. We had a big show where we had a camera crew and recorded the audio. It's funny. It was, you know, we had every intention of releasing a live video album at that time. But then, you know, we got carried away with other things. And so it never happened. So recently I've decided to go back, and we will be releasing the live album on January 28th. And until then, we will be releasing videos of the songs, including songs from Blood from Turnips, as well as a version of Spandau Ballet's True, which is a crowd favorite, and as well as 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. So some covers and some originals on that live album.
And there are some other covers on your YouTube channel. I know you covered U2 and you've covered the Beatles. And a couple of years ago, you released an album, The Air Nostalgic, which is an 80s, a collection of 80s covers, which is, you know, I want to say a far cry from the original stuff that you did on your first two albums. But again, it's, you know, it's got to be stuff that you liked, stuff that you were inspired by, stuff that mattered.
Yeah, you know, those 80s songs. So the way that came about was we were performing live, and our version of True in particular was a crowd favorite. And, you know, we all grew, Wes and I in particular, are big fans of 80s music. It's quite an influence on my music. And so we started digging in to different songs that both of us liked, and we'd text each other, you know, like, what about this one? What about this one? And eventually we decided, let's put these down and let's see if we can both, you know, our goal was either to give them our own twist or in some instances do what we could to honor the original production. And all of what we did, there are no tricks. When you're hearing, you know, the synth solo on the Cars' Bye Bye Love, that's the exact synth that they used. We recorded a lot of it on tape. So it was an attempt to, it was sort of a masterclass in 80s production. And we had a blast. And in particular, it was the first time that I really had to sit down and think about other people's lyrics and come up with a way of connecting them to myself for the performance. So, you know, listening to songs that I had heard a million times, all of a sudden I had to really listen to the lyrics and think about what they meant. So the vocal performances were a really fun challenge. And the first time that I really, you know, dug into other people's music. But as a result, we have some really great covers of Safety Dance, Steppin' Out, Bye Bye Love from the Cars. And it's been really fun because the reaction to those covers, you know, has been really positive, and people love them. And so it was really quite an experience.
One of the things that I really like about this set of songs is I was in high school and college in the 80s, and that music was very important to me. And I look at this list of songs and I'm like, okay, this is a list of songs from somebody who was there, because you see people doing 80s songs and they reach for the hits and the stereotypical 80s songs. But this goes a little bit deeper, because you have the Joe Jackson song you mentioned, you've got Personal Jesus, you have John Lennon's Watching the Wheels, Tears for Fears, Head Over Heels, Don't Dream It's Over, the Genesis song, No Reply at All. You know, it really evokes that nostalgia.
Yeah. And for me personally, those are very important songs to me. I mean, some of them were songs that were important to Wes. So we came together with our different collection of songs, but No Reply at All, Stepping Out. I mean, these are songs that are in the core of my being, because they were real influential to me, you know, as a kid growing up. So it was so fun. It was a dream come true in a sense. I mean, I remember being a teenager listening to Three Sides Live, the Genesis album, you know, singing into my mirror, you know, looking or, you know, pretending that I was singing those songs. And all of a sudden I was. It was also interesting because there were certain songs like Stepping Out that I was able to do in a couple takes. It took nothing because that song has been in my, you know, in my personal repertoire for my entire life. So, you know, it was really, it was fun to do. And what it ended up sort of culminating in was the title song, which is an original called The Air Nostalgic, that is about that time in our lives. And, you know, we thought it would be fun to have an original that tied this all together. So the last song on the album is a song called The Air Nostalgic, and it's an original.
And it does a great job and of connecting everything. And I think that regardless of what age you are, when you're in high school and you're in college, those are the songs that, like you said, that are at your core. Dick Clark used to call it the soundtrack of your life. And those are really the songs that matter. And I think that you can feel that when you listen to these covers, that this isn't just a fun one-off sort of thing about, hey, remember this one? This is, you know, they're important. They matter to you.
Yeah, and we really wanted to be sure that we spared no detail or, you know, frankly, expense in making sure that the songs were honored appropriately. And so we really put a lot of time and effort into the production of them.
And from there, you go to a Christmas EP. Was there anything that particularly led you into Christmas music?
Well, I mean, there were a couple things. First, that's where I first started singing, was, you know, church services on Christmas Eve. My very first solo, you know, as a fourth grade little kid, was the little drummer boy in a Christmas service. And so Christmas for me has always meant Christmas songs and music. But it's also the case that what inspired this was, I like to say, procrastination, because when we were working on The Air Nostalgic, it was a Christmas, it was Wes and I got together and it was like December 23rd. It might have even been December 24th. And we were working on sort of the hard labor of the overdubs of the 80s stuff. And we weren't feeling it. And I had this idea for Christmas of My Heart. And so instead of doing what we were supposed to do, we instead wrote Christmas of My Heart and got started on the production of that, which, you know, then sort of spawned the idea of a Christmas album. And we were kind of heading towards finishing the Christmas album when the pandemic hit. And so we put it aside and waited. And so then this year, obviously, we're releasing it. And it includes both Christmas of My Heart as well as two other originals, Just in Time for Christmas. And then one called Frosty the Snowman is Dead, which is a bit of a play on our environmental situation here on Earth. And we have a video we're gearing up to release for Frosty the Snowman is Dead, which is pretty fun. We had a stuntman dress in a Frosty costume and run around Hollywood and get you know, all sorts of footage of Frosty on the run. So I'm looking forward to releasing that in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see that. The new EP is called Just in Time for Christmas, and Christmas My Heart and Just in Time for Christmas and Frosty the Snowman is Dead are the originals. The other two tracks on here are songs that I believe you and Wes did on your YouTube channel earlier. I don't know if these are the same versions. I'll Be Home for Christmas and What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? Any particular reason that you were drawn to those two covers?
I, you know, at the time that we recorded I'll Be Home for Christmas, it was during the pandemic, and it was the first year that I was not going to be home for Christmas. So it was a special, you know, song that came to me when I had told my parents that I was not going to be making the trip to see them because of the pandemic. And so that was last year. So the song, you know, was an obvious, you know, an obvious choice. And then I've always liked What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? And it was another situation where, and, you know, both of those songs, and in fact, a lot of what exists on this album is recordings that we did remotely, you know, where we weren't in the same studio because of the practicalities of the time. It was a way, this Christmas album was a way to collaborate at a time when we weren't able to be together, which was really great. We have other songs that are coming out this year, a new album of songs that we've recorded during the pandemic that I'm also excited about.
Yeah, I know there's a video on your YouTube channel about adopting a puppy, and I think that's the new single that just came out too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, thanks for noticing, Ken. So I wrote a song. So at the beginning of the pandemic, like many people, because it was the first time in my life where I was at home indefinitely, I went ahead and did something I always wanted to do. I adopted an Australian Labradoodle puppy. His name is Bigsby. And when I first saw him, it inspired me to write a song called Welcome Friend to Your Life. And it's about really introducing this little pup to the world, which was a quite a moving experience for me. And so the song came out. We created a video for it. You know, funny enough, it's one of my most popular videos, you know, but we did it as a video and it was really never intended to be sort of a formal single. But recently, there's been sort of enough interest that we went ahead and released a version that is a single that people can hear on Spotify and Apple Music and, you know, everywhere where music is played.
And I'd encourage everybody, if you're a dog person at all, go to Jeff's YouTube channel and watch this video. You'll love it. You mentioned an album coming up. What else is on your agenda for 2022?
Well, so 2022 will be a new album of originals, and hopefully some live performing, you know, yet to be determined based on what's possible. You know, hopefully we'll be able to get back out there. And in the meantime, we're going to continue to release videos on YouTube, both the originals that will be on the album coming up, as well as a bunch of covers. You know, if you're interested in seeing and hearing more of our music, subscribe to YouTube, because we'll be very active on YouTube, including the release of the live album on January 28th. Between now and then, we'll be releasing videos of that live performance, including our version of True by Spandau Ballet, which is always fun.
What's the best way for people to keep up with you? Is there a particular social media that you like? Is your website the best place, at least as a hub, a starting point?
Well, thanks, Ken. I mean, so first, subscribing on YouTube is the best way to keep up with what we're doing, because that's where we will be posting stuff. But also following me on Instagram at JeffFowler1, or going to my website, JeffFowlerMusic.com, and giving us your email address. We send e-blasts over email as well. So those three are the best. There's also a Facebook page, Jeff Fowler Music. We're active on all of those. So yeah, I would love for people to join up and you know, make requests for covers. We're always happy to entertain that.
You know, if you go to JeffFowlerMusic.com, right on the front page, if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see links to Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Instagram and also to Spotify. So that's a great starting point, and you can connect in all those other ways. Forgive this next question, but I can't help it because I'm a Christmas music guy. Is there more Christmas music on the horizon from you?
There sure might be. I mean, at the moment we're focused on this EP, but it's certainly, you know, I'm a big Christmas music fan too. And there's so many great Christmas songs out there. And also, it's so inspiring to write Christmas songs. And it's fun because they're songs that people can enjoy year after year. So I'm sure that we will have more Christmas songs. And I'm so happy to be part of Sounds of Christmas, Ken. I mean, this is such a great venue for Christmas music. And, you know, there's so many great Christmas songs. And really, it's just unfortunate that we don't hear Christmas songs all year round, you know, because they're really great.
You know, one of the thank you for that. And one of the reasons that I started Sounds of Christmas is because a lot of traditional radio will play such a short list of Christmas songs over and over. And there just is so much, both so much that has already been released. I mean, Bing put out lots of Christmas songs and White Christmas is almost all you hear. And there's lots of new stuff that comes out every year. I have a friend who's an indie artist who was so excited because there was a station in New York that added her Christmas song as one of five new songs that particular year. And I just thought, how can you only have five new songs when there's so much? And yeah. I think, and that's, you know, you talk about Christmas music and people act like they want to put a gun in their mouth because they're hearing the same songs over and over and over. And I think that's a big reason why you get that sort of reaction. But there is such an amazing variety and just an amount of great music.
It's so true.
Yeah. And we're on all year long, and I don't expect that people are going to listen all year long. Some do. But sometimes in April or May, maybe you need a little Christmas spirit, and we're there, and you can click it on and you'll be able to hear the same kind of variety that you hear now. And it's very gratifying to be able to do that. And I'm happy to have Just in Time for Christmas as part of that people will be able to hear, not just now, but anytime they need that Christmas spirit.
Well, thanks so much, Ken. I really applaud what you're doing, and we'll be listening all year because I love Christmas music, and I'm really happy that Christmas in My Heart is part of that. And you're right that there's so many great songs out there related to Christmas that, you know, there's plenty of songs to enjoy.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast and talking about Christmas music and lots of other stuff. Remember, everybody, jefffowlermusic.com is the best way. Well, I don't know if it's the best way, but it's one way that you can get to all of Jeff's other places online. Thanks again, Jeff.
Thanks, Ken. Really pleasure.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. Since you're listening to this now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And the website is soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station, to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.